Dear congregation, what a difference there is between a thief and a giver. A thief that is there to take things that you have that are valuable, to take them away when he should not. And a giver who is there to give you what you need. A thief that is cruel, a giver that is kind. A thief that is selfish, a giver that is self-denying. What is the Lord Jesus? What is the Lord Jesus, a thief or a giver? I think even the children can give the answer to that question. You know the Lord Jesus is not a thief, right? No. He's a giver, isn't he? And yet, here in this passage of Luke, he asks that question. Luke 52 and 53. He asks there, that, or we read that text again. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let us listen this afternoon to this question that is at the center of these verses. Prayerfully, Jesus as a thief. And in the first place, we see that the answer is yes, according to his enemies. And second, that it is yes, according to God. And third, that it is no, according to God and his people. Jesus as a thief, yes, say his enemies, yes, said God, and no, say God and his people. We are here in Luke 22, a passage which is perhaps also a good preparation as a communion season comes near. Because here we are in the midst of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been agonizing alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. His soul had been exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And under that load, he had said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And in that way of prayer, he was strengthened to bear that load, to go forward into the greatest sufferings that awaited him. And all the while his disciples were sleeping, he awoke them. He asked them, Why could you not watch with me 1 hour? Repeatedly, they fell to sleep again. He also then awoke them in that final way because he knew that the betrayer was coming. And there were those torches in the darkness. And they were coming closer, and it was very clear that there was a great, large band of men who were coming out there in the night. And in the front of them all, there was this one that all the disciples recognized. It was none less than one of their own. It was Judas who came and who kissed his master. And the Lord Jesus asked that question, Friend, wherefore art thou come hither? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And that question of the Lord Jesus was so piercing, wasn't it? But it didn't stop them all. Instead, they still came in order to arrest. The disciples for a moment thought that they would defend their master. Peter was there with his sword, and he slashed, and he hit off the ear of that servant, But what did the Lord Jesus do? He touched that ear. He healed. And that those events that take place there also make that question that he asks here in our text so pointed. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Does a thief present himself to his captors? Does a thief heal the ear of one who's come to arrest him? Is that the work of a thief? And this question is all the more powerful when we consider to whom the Lord Jesus is speaking. In verse 52, it says, Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were with him. These were not just rough Roman soldiers who were doing their duty, not really knowing what they were doing, just following orders. No, it says here, these were, first of all, the chief priests. The ones who belonged to that priestly family, out of which there was that one high priest that was chosen. These were the leading priests who were especially to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation as it was pictured there in the temple and all those sacrifices they were to offer up. These were the chief priests who were to instruct the people in the word and in the gospel of Christ, of God. These were the chief priests who were involved in the Sanhedrin, which were to exercise spiritual authority in Israel. These were the ones who were to know the scriptures like none other. These were the ones who were coming out in this night. Be ye come out on this night so near the Passover. Should they not be in their homes? Should they not be meditating on the mystery of the Passover and the Lamb and what it means and be in prayer for themselves and for their families and for the people of Israel? Be ye come out, the chief priests. Also says the captains of the temple, these ones who were responsible to make sure that everything took place in an orderly way there in the temple, who were to be concerned about the holiness of the temple and what took place there. These temple police, you could say, these Levites who had that special responsibility, be ye come out. And also the elders, those ones who had not only a civil authority as elders, but a spiritual role in the religious life of the people of Israel. These men who knew the scriptures, the men who knew the ceremonies and the prophecies that all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, be ye come out against me. What are these men doing on this night? It says, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Swords. We know what swords are for. They're for killing people. And staves, pieces of wood, as used as clubs to beat people. This great number have come out with swords and staves in the darkness of the night. Why? He is asking, am I a thief? Is that why you have to come so armed and ready to engage in a fight? That word for thief here is not a word that is used for someone who is in the market and slips some figs out of a stand and disappears. The word for thief here is the word that was used for a robber, a highway robber. It's a word that's used for, remember the parable of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan as it's commonly called? There's that man who's traveling, and suddenly those thieves pounce on him, and they strip him, and they leave him half dead on the side of the road. This is the word that's used on the lips of the Lord Jesus. Is that who I am? A robber who's come to hurt you, to steal from you. A dangerous man that you have to come out against me in this way. And in asking this question, he's probing their conscience. Why are you here in the dead of night, in great numbers, so armed against me? And he goes on to ask, doesn't he? In verse 53, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. He reminds them he was daily in their territory, can I say, in the place where they were to exercise authority. He had not worked in secret, in dens and caves, trying to draw people away, plotting there in secret. No, he was there in public, in the house of his Father. Was he there as a thief? In this question, saying, I was daily with you, he is reminding them of all that he had been and done for them there. What had he done? What had he said? Had he been a thief? There he came and he saw thieves, money changers, and he drove them out and said, you have made the house of my Father a den of thieves. He was no thief. He got rid of the thieves. And what did he do there? Remember on that day of the feast, he stood up and he called with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Is that the language of a thief? He stood there as one who came to give, and to give so freely. I was daily with you. And what did I do? What did I preach? I proclaimed the word of God. What fault could you find with what I said? Remember how the different groups, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all tried to come and to catch him in his words, and they could not. I was daily with you. Why did you not arrest me if I did wrong? He was there as the one who did not come to destroy, but who came to heal, who came to give life. He was among them as one who cast out devils, as one who cleansed lepers, as one who gave sight to the blind. I was daily with you. Be ye who saw me come out against me as a thief. What a question. What a question. And as we hear that question, we're confronted with the groundlessness of their opposition to Christ. What do they have against him? What has he done wrong? We are confronted with the groundlessness of all opposition to him, of every treatment of him as if he were a thief. What a thought, that he would be treated as a dangerous one. Have you ever found that in yourself? Too orthodox to ever call the Lord Jesus a thief, and yet avoided him. Not wanted to come too close to him. Why? Are you afraid that he'll take something from you? Afraid he'll give you something that isn't good for you? Why would you resist him? Why would you come against him? Has that question pierced your soul? Why have I treated him as if he were a thief, to hurt me, to take anything good from me, and left you speechless because you realize he's never done anything wrong. He's never spoken anything wrong. He's never given me any reason to suspect him and to doubt him and to mistreat him. Ye come out against me as a thief. Maybe someone says, I've never done that. I've never gone against the Lord Jesus with swords and staves. No, not physical ones. We know he's in heaven. We can't reach him with our physical swords. We may not even have a physical sword. But living with that idea that he would take away your pleasure if he would come. Do you think that? You see, these Jews were afraid that he would take their place and their power and their position and their prestige would be taken away if he stayed. So they wanted him to go so that they could keep what they had, their place, their honor, according to John 11. Is that how you think? That if he comes, he'll take away your fun. He'll take away those things you enjoy. He'll take away. You'll lose friends. Maybe you think that. If he comes, I'll lose friends. I don't want that. And I won't be able to go where I go, or won't be able to watch what I watch, or I won't be able to listen to what I listen to. He'll take those things away, and they're valuable. They're valuable to you. You act as if he's a thief, if he would take it away. Others may be afraid of him as a thief who would take not just the pleasures of sin, but comforts away. These people who came against him were religious people, very religious. And they didn't like him because he probed their hearts, and because he discriminated, and because he warned, and because he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And they didn't want that. They felt it takes our comfort away, and so we resist him because he's a thief taking our comfort away. Is that how it is? When the word of God comes to you, and that word searches you, and that word exposes, and you become uncomfortable, maybe under the preaching as you sit here in church, and inside it stirs up that resistance. I don't want the preaching to be too searching, because then my comfort is gone. And I just want to hold on to that comfort that I have. Will you come out against me as a thief? Christ asks. Am I really someone who is here to steal things of value from you and to just make your life difficult? That question confronts us with his goodness in our inexcusable folly in resisting him. And it's such a call, isn't it, to turn to him and to repent. Do you not hear his long-suffering patience in that question? That he even asks them that question is because he is still striving, can I say, with their souls. Be ye come out. He's exposing what's really happening inside them, what's behind this resistance of them that they have, so that they would come to recognize it and come to repentance on account of it. What a mercy the Lord Jesus still shows in this very question. I see you resisting me. Why is it? Am I a thief? Did this one or that one in that crowd slink away and fall on their knees and cry for mercy from this Son of God? We don't know. But the Lord Jesus asks that question in order to convict of the reality of resistance against him, so that when we find that within ourselves, we would fall on our knees before this God, before this Christ, confessing our resistance and our mistreatment of such a glorious and blessed Savior. But we do read that after this question, they took him and led him away. It continued on. And we ask why. How could God allow them to treat his son as if he were a thief, to be arrested and condemned to death together with two other murderers? The Lord Jesus knew. He says it there. This is your hour and the power of darkness. He has to enter into this dark hour. He has to enter into this bondage. And again we ask, why? Is Jesus a thief? And we see, secondly, that his father says, yes, a thief. Maybe you say that can't be. The Father does not call the Lord Jesus a thief. The Father said when the Lord Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Shortly before, the Lord Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and again he heard that, the disciples heard that voice. This is my beloved Son. This is no thief. This is the one who gives me everything that I deserve. He's the only one who is no thief. Who is a thief? It's the one who doesn't give God what God deserves. Who is a thief? Is it you? Is it me? Not the Lord Jesus. A robber. For treating Christ as a robber, as a thief, I rob him of his glory. When I treat him as if he is not that one full of power, full of majesty, full of glory, full of wisdom, full of might, full of grace, full of love, I rob him of his glory. And what a dreadful thing that is, that I would try to take away his honor and glory as if it doesn't belong to him. And what is behind that? That mistreatment of Christ, is it not a robbing God of his glory? The Lord who says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord, robbed God of his honor and the fear that is rightfully his, lived without giving God that deep honor and that reverence that he deserves. Malachi also becomes very specific there in chapter 3, doesn't he? When he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. See how seriously God takes what belongs to him, to fail to give it to him, even of our tithes and of our offerings. He says, you rob me. All that we have, we've received from God, so that all that we are would return to him in devotion to him. It's like Hebrews speaks of that rain that comes down. It comes down so that there would be fruit unto God. What a terrible thing when the rain of God's gifts shower down upon us and it produces thorns, thistles, and sin. And God says, you have robbed me of the fruit. I give the rain, so it would be fruit. We rob God when we keep for ourselves, ultimately, our heart. He says, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. And to keep that heart for yourself is to rob God. He created us for himself. To give ourselves to anything other than God is to rob God. We've robbed God. Who's the thief? It's not Christ. It's me. What I've done to God, what I've done to others, failed to give them the love and the kindness and the service, the compassion that they deserve. Is Jesus a thief? I am the thief. Is that your confession this afternoon? Lord, the thief is me. Stolen. Failed to give thee, failed to give others what they deserve. How different everything looks when we see that. Then what do we deserve? Is it not to be bound? Is it not to be led away? Is it not to endure the judgment of God and the wrath of God? A thief must be punished. And one who robs God of his honor must be punished. His honor must be maintained. His justice must be maintained. And it must be maintained in the satisfaction of his justice. And the satisfaction of his justice means condemnation and curse and punishment forever. How can I be delivered from the guilt of robbing God and treating God as if he were a thief? Again, we ask, is Jesus a thief? And the Father says, yes. In this sense that we read in Isaiah 53, which is cited there in Luke 22, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was not just included with those other thieves by Pilate, who said, let those three be crucified as thieves. No, he was numbered with the transgressors by none less than God himself. The Lord himself reckoned him, counted him as a thief, as the worst of thieves. God the Father came against him as if he had robbed God of his glory every moment, because that guilt of it was laid upon him. That iniquity, coming short of the glory of God, was laid upon him, and he stood there and he said, this is your hour. And he went forward to the cross, because behind them all he saw God numbering him with the transgressors. That's why he did not resist. That's why he did not call for 12 legions of angels to come and consume them. But he went forward. He heard that prophecy of Zechariah, awake, O sword, and smite the man that is my fellow. saith the Lord of hosts. Who here says, I am the thief? Who says, I've robbed my neighbor of kindness and God of his glory? I deserve God to come against me and punish me for that sin. Do you see him? Him going forward as the just for the unjust. Him who always gave God what he deserved, who could say, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. Going forward as if he were a thief who robbed God and bearing that punishment, he goes forward as that substitute in the place of the unjust. Is that you this afternoon? Unjust. He goes forward in the place as the just for the unjust. He went forward to be slain so that that sword would not have to slay thieves that deserve to be slain. Do you see what a mercy fills him? Do you see what a love fills him that he would go forward and bear that punishment, that judgment, so willingly, so freely, that he said, let everything be taken away from me. There he hung upon the cross as if he were a thief that did not deserve anything, as if everything had been stolen. And he bore that punishment to deliver from it. What love, what grace. Is this not the Savior you need? One who is numbered with the transgressors, with the thieves, to be the Savior of thieves. Today and even now. There's no one here who is too good for this Savior, is there? There's no one who still wants to deny that they have robbed God of his glory in terms of how they've lived and what they've been. There's no one who still stands like these Sanhedrin and these chief priests in their self-righteousness opposing this one still. Oh, see him treated as a thief for thieves. And God stretched forth his sword against him, the innocent one, to sheathe it for guilty ones, coming against Christ so that he can now come for sinners. Is Jesus a thief? Must you not say no? Not at all. Exactly because he was treated as a thief, he shows he's the very opposite of a thief. And that's our final point. Is Jesus as a thief? No, say God and his people. In giving him up, in God giving up his son, God was showing he is no thief, but a giver. In Christ being willing to be treated as a thief, he gave the greatest he could give. He didn't just give some time. He didn't just give some words. He didn't just do some deeds. He gave himself up. He gave the greatest he could give to show that he is no thief, but a giver of his all unto death. Nothing is more precious in the universe than Christ. And that's what he gave himself as represented in his own blood. That's what will be shown in the Lord's Supper in due time. I gave myself for you. In Christ giving himself, God was showing that he's a God who gives. Behind the Savior there in that night, being numbered with the transgressors and thieves, and giving himself was God himself, God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. Oh, before this revelation of giving love, who here this afternoon can still hold on to that sword of resistance against him? Who here can still hold on to that resistance that would want to keep a distance from this Christ, lest he take away something that you have of value? Oh, is it not the most insane thing to resist the one who gave his life, who gave his own blood, in order to now be able to give every blessing? Oh, to resist him is to fight against the giver, the only giver in all the world who can give you what you truly need. His very love summons us to lay down those weapons of rebellion, those accusations of him, those suspicions of him, to lay down those weapons, to show him those weapons, to confess that resistance as sin and as guilt before him. Lord, here they are. I didn't want to admit I was holding this sword, but I was. I was resisting thee. Here's the sword. Here it is. I can only confess it before thee. I've been the one treating thee as a thief, and I myself have been the thief. Have mercy. Oh, to surrender into the arms of such a loving Savior, giving Savior. Who can hold on to suspicions, thoughts of the God who gave his own Son and raised him to his right hand? Be you come against him as a thief? Can you still think it's dangerous to come close to him because he will take? Oh, when he comes, what does he take? What does he take when he comes? He takes great things. Great things. He takes sin. He takes that burden of sin. And he takes it away. And he casts it into the depths of the sea. Because he had laid it upon his Son. What does he take? He comes and he sees those chains of sin. Keep in bondage to sin, and he breaks those chains and he takes them away. That's what he takes. Oh, what does he take? He takes away the death sentence. He takes away death itself. He removes it and it's gone. Will we charge him for being a thief, for taking these things away? Especially when we see that he took these things upon himself in order to be able to take them away. Oh, Christ, is he not so precious as the one who takes? Who takes not things of value, but who takes debt and takes misery and takes loss, and he takes it away. That's no loss. That is gain. Oh, to come before him and say, oh Lord, take away. Take away that sin. Take away that bondage. Take away that darkness. Take away that death. Take it all away. Take it. He comes to take. And he comes to give. He's no thief, but a giver. What does he give? He gives that royal pardon. He gives his blood to wash all guilty stains away. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He gives his perfect righteousness. That robe that he wove his entire life, always giving to God what he owed. He gives that perfect righteousness. He gives life. He gives the water of life freely. He gives liberty. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He gives. He gives his love. A love that is so great that it made him lay down his life for enemies who resisted him and didn't ask for him and wanted him to be away out of fear. What'd he do? He gives that love. He gives his comfort. In the midst of the discouragements and troubles of life, he gives comfort. And how do we enjoy all these gifts? It's because he gives his Holy Spirit. He says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. He will abide with you and he won't take that spirit back again. He gives. He gives himself. He gives all that he is, all that he has. He gives to all those whom he draws to himself to be united to him. He that has a Son has everything. And he gives that right relation with the Father to have God, as your Father. O congregation, is Christ a thief to be avoided? Is he not the giver? The giver, the giver to come to in the midst of all our thievery, all our sin, all our suspicions and all our unbelief that keeps us away, to yet come before him, confessing it all, to only receive and receive and receive. Oh, he asks. He asks there in the garden, be ye come out against me as against a thief with swords and staves. Oh, is it so precious to you that he was willing to humble himself so low as to be treated as such? Because that's the substitute you need in the sight of God. But are you also so thankful? He is no thief. He is the one who gives and gives. And that you say, Lord, here I am. Take away what is not of Christ. Take away what is not of God. Take away what is of myself and what is to God's dishonor. Take it away and give. Give and give for the sake of this blood of Christ. Is he a thief? Is he not the giver? Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, thou art indeed the fountain of all good, the fountain that has flowed through the ages and flows still today. We confess that every good and perfect gift comes from above from thee. Thou art the one who gives, but thou hast chiefly given thy own Son to have everything taken away from him, as if he were a thief, numbered with the transgressors, as that sacrifice, as that substitute. O Lord, that we may find in his death our life, in his sacrifice our pardon, in him going forward our perfect obedience and righteousness as a covering, and that so we may receive from him every grace. Lord, forgive that we would suspect and that would keep us at a distance. but that all of us may, by thy grace and spirit, come before him. Take away, Lord, take away all that is not of thee, and fill us with that grace for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace purchased by his blood. Receive our thanks, Lord, that we could be together on this day. We pray to bless us further in this day, also in our time together. Wilt thou also watch over us in the week that has begun, that a blessing of thy day may go with us into this week, that thou would go with us with thy grace. Help us in our daily tasks and keep us from sin. We ask these things and give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.